Here we go, and a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. Oh my god, I can't believe I did that.
Me either. What'd you do?
I forgot what episode we are. Okay, episode 108.
Really?
Yeah, wow. 108. That's right, 108. DC's Trinity War Battle Report number 2. I am Chris Mosby.
It's more of a post-mortem, I would
say.
Yeah,
it's a post-mortem. Okay, fine. Post-mortem it is, then.
Yeah, the battle's over.
Yeah, it's way over. Which, yeah, okay, I'll bring that up. Anyway, I'm Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Ooh, and I have a Legion name this week.
Okay.
I'm Canadian Reference Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Canadian Reference Boy.
In the last 12 hours, I've had two fairly Canadian moments, and one of them was in the show called Call the Midwife.
Okay.
They use the term tickety boo a lot.
Tickety boo.
I love that phrase.
Yes. Well, the first time I heard it was from you, Murray.
Tickety boo. Yeah, that does sound familiar.
And when I researched it because that's what I do. It's actually a Canadian term that was then. You know, it was actually taken overseas when during World War II. A lot of the Canadian Army was not Canadian Army, but whatever your contribution was to Europe, the European front. I'm blanking on that part now. But
he had an army.
Decoys. Yes.
No, that's cool, man.
I'm sorry.
A lot of them died. Man.
I know that was bad. It was terrible. I'm sorry.
So,
I apologize. That was very, very, very bad in me.
Battle of 1812. We won.
There you go. And then the other thing is that my kids and my wife are watching. This flies completely in the face of being kind to Canadians. They're watching Dudley Do Right, the movie. So.
Oh my god. Wow, I remember watching that cartoon.
With Brendan Fraser and Alfred Molina and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It is goopy fun.
Just like George in the Jungle. All right, it's been over a month since we've done the last Trinity War Battle Report. Well, we were going to do it a little bit more, but I forgot it was short, so we got the whole deal here. And so the last two we covered Justice League number 22 and Justice League of America number 6. We had a small discussion right before we started recording, and we decided we've read all of this that the tie-ins mean absolutely nothing, and we're probably going to skip them.
I do want to say about the tie-ins that I read two of them. I read the Constantine number 5 and Phantom Stranger number 11.
I think I skipped Constantine, but yeah, I did read the Phantom Stranger one.
And yeah, they felt like back when they would have the JLA, JSA crossovers, and they'd all break off into teams of three, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Yeah.
They would have those three or four pages of fight, 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 almost lose, and then win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had that feel to it, though. At least in the case of the Phantom Stranger one, it was...
Yeah, that was very strange.
It was a little weak.
Yes, it was.
The Constantine one was weird. Him trying to steal the Shazam power. But,
yeah, when I read what the plot was, I didn't even attempt to read it. I mean, you know, I just didn't. Okay. Who wants
to
start?
So as a reminder, the whole idea is that the Trinity is actually Phantom Stranger, Pandora, and the Question.
Supposedly.
And they're trying to decipher the mystery of the Pandora box.
Mm-hmm.
Pandora's box. And they think it's corrupted Superman, and that's why he's dying.
And why he blew off Dr. Light's head with his heat
vision. Right.
They kind of played around with the Trinity idea, though, because it could have been those three. It could have been...
Oh, yeah, it could have been. Because at one point in here, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are even at odds, so it could be that Trinity.
Yeah, they played a and in the end, Trinity War is...
And there's three Justice League teams, so there's a Trinity there.
That too. But in the end, it didn't really mean what we thought it meant. It was, I thought that was kind of a weak, a weak moment. But on the, but I liked it. Like, I mean, I didn't like that little. I didn't like the moment when they revealed what the Trinity or what the Three or what the Pandora's box actually was for. But I, on the whole, I liked the miniseries or the storyline or whatever.
Yeah, well, I liked it a little bit better than I thought. But I don't know. I guess I, my thing was, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But some of the stuff that that we called was so true that it was like, crap, there's no mystery here. And come to find out, I didn't even realize it because I don't watch it as much as I used to. But Geoff Johns actually just told at the end, told the press before that last issue came out, who the Trinity was, what the actual Trinity was. It was in the papers and stuff. I just was reading that a little bit ago. So,
let's preface and say that, look, yes, there were moments during all of these extra issues between Justice League of America number 20, or number, blah, sorry, I had it right here, between Justice League of America number 6 and Justice League number 23, which was the end, there were moments and there were crossovers. There was Justice League Dark 22, Justice League America 7, Justice League Dark 23, Trinity of Sin, Pandora 1, Constantine 5, Pandora 2, Phantom Stranger 11, and Pandora 3 all had moments that contributed to the bigger storyline. But I think we came to the consensus that, and correct me if I'm wrong, we came to the consensus that for the most part, mm-hmm. there was a lot of wheel spinning and repetition, and a lot of build up, but not consequential build up that we didn't necessarily get into minutia with those, all those issues, and we're just going to talk about Justice League 23.
Yeah, like there were lots of red herrings. You know what I mean? Like there were lots of.
That's not what I thought we were going to do, but that's fine. Go ahead.
No,
that's cool.
What do you think we were going to do?
I thought we were going to go through the actual ones that were actual part of it, but we don't really need to do that. Because you're right, it was all red herrings and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like that. You had lots of battles between the leagues, and mm-hmm. some were better done than others. Like if there were little character moments and interplay between the characters, they were all right.
I'm looking through here to see if there's anything actually worth mentioning after you said that, but go ahead.
Every issue they had, oh my god, Superman's dying, let's figure out what it is. Oh my god, Superman's dying, let's figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. True.
Oh god, yeah, we gotta find some way to stop Superman, because what if he goes crazy again? And that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like a lot of repetition of that theme.
Yeah, actually, you're exactly correct.
Yeah, but with that theme, they sent the teams off on different...
Yeah.
So you had Wonder Woman's team investigating the mystical side of it. You had Batman's team doing the actual cloak and dagger look for clues thing, and then you had the other team doing, I don't know, looking in Argus they were doing something in Argus. They were trying to figure out Superman's deal. That, like, I mean, they had three different, they all went off in three different directions and did three different mm-hmm. things, which in the end, it didn't amount to a whole lot because the story takes a huge twist in the last issue.
Yeah, that really just, some of it was way out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, I reread this Justice League number, the last issue, Justice League 23.
Yeah, I've read it twice so far.
Because actually, it was very good. to Geoff Johns' credit, I actually enjoyed it an awful lot. Mm-hmm. But I think I could have gone from Justice League 22 to Justice League 23 and not have felt a gap, which is a plus and a minus. Because the plus is obviously for DC, you want, you know, this is an event. You want all the parts to be greater than the whole, or vice versa. All the whole to be greater than the parts. I don't know. But on the other side, and I've complained about this before with other things, you don't have to read these other crossovers to get the whole story, which I think is a plus. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, oh, great. I didn't have to read JLA, Justice League Dark, Pandora, kind of blah, blah, blah. I could have just gone Justice League 22, Justice League 23 and gone, okay, I got the story. I got the gist. I see mm-hmm. what I missed. because, like you said, the twist, there are a couple pretty significant twists that occur in
some, Day of Light. Yeah, some were completely obvious. We figured it out in, like I said, I listened to the last episode we did about this, and we pegged some of it right on the money.
Did we? Good for us.
But other parts of it, not so much. Well, I mean, there was no clue that I saw to some of this stuff. But anyway, we'll get to that.
We will.
And, yeah, we'll get to that because we're going to, I don't know how far we're going to, are we going to just go through the whole episode or what? Actually, this is an interesting thing. We can skip that. Anyway.
I would actually probably like to go back and reread it and just take a look at the Adam's role in the book.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the twists. It's like issue 23, spoiler, mm-hmm. we find out that Adam is not really...
She's not only a double agent, she's a triple agent.
Triple agent. She's not only betraying the Justice League, she's betraying the Justice League of America. She's from Earth 3. I kind of liked that twist.
Yeah, I did too.
Because to me, I thought, I wasn't loving the new Adam, and I really would have rather to see Ray Palmer or Ryan Choi in that role. And I was, here we go. We no chick just because she's a Latina chick.
He did again kind of what I think they shoved too much there at the end.
I don't know. I kind of felt that I was caught up in it. So I thought it played out well for me. But I was glad to see her turn into like a wicked villain, because then I was all right, I can get behind this character, and we'll get another Adam down the line.
Yeah, that grumpy old fan from CBR wrote a deal about that too.
Oh yeah.
Well, we've seen Ray Palmer, so he was in Frankenstein. Isn't that right?
That is correct. He was
a background scientist there, so we've seen him, and I'm sure Ryan Choi is kicking around somewhere. So it opens the door for a hero of Adam to come.
Yeah, now he's got some questions we can always ask that later. So, okay, do we want to get into the actual issue now?
Sure.
Yeah, let me find mine. Give me a second.
All right. We're skipping Boys and Girls, and I just skimmed through those while we were talking, and except for a few minor things, you know, we can do a recap of it. It pretty much all – comes to this issue.
I'll be back in a sec. I left mine in the other room. Sure. Right back.
That's all right.
The in-between issues, the Justice Leagues meet, and then they fight. Yeah. And they meet again, and then they fight again.
Pretty much. We can go through, while we're waiting, go through the synopsis, the solicit. A member of the Justice League defects to Justice League Dark. I don't remember that. That's what it says, Justice League Dark 22. We don't need to do that.
It's basically, heroes get together fighting.
That just like we said, Batman and his group, they go do, one thing, and there's some Lex Luthor stuff there. Pandora tries to get him to open the box, still going with the evil,
Hey, Batman, open my box.
I kind of like the Lex Luthor scene. That was kind of cool. Yeah. Now, that was in Justice League Dark, right? The one question I had about Justice League Dark was that we see who is it that opens the box, and is it Shazam?
Captain Marvel opens the box.
And then all the magic characters in the DCU experience this like moment.
Not just the
DCU. Sort of mystical.
Earth 2 is DCU.
Yeah.
Earth 2, though. I just didn't know how you defined it. But yeah. Amethyst.
But it seems like all the mystical characters have some sort of moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we find out in the last issue that it's not really a mystical construct at all, it's a scientific construct.
Exactly. Which, was that why the main reason why I said the stuff that happened in that Pandora thing at one point I thought was actually somewhat important, but it's not at all. So because of that.
Yeah, it kind of cuts the feet out of the Pandora series.
Yeah, it just like completely out there, and then his costume turns black like Black Adam. So,
but it does. I'm curious. I'm actually curious how they're going to reconcile that, because also the only character that wasn't affected, as we find out through this issue 23, was Constantine, who apparently has no soul. So,
yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
He's already wicked.
Yeah, okay. So you guys got your
stuff? I got mine in front of me now. I haven't. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I can't talk worth a damn right now. Okay, here we go. Basically, page one, we start off with it started all 5 years ago. And we're kind of getting a recap of the Justice League, and it shows the original group with Cyborg, fighting Darkseid.
The first 6-issue story arc.
Yes.
Or was it one issue over 6?
I don't know. If you listen to Paul French, I'm sure that's what he would have said. I just was been listening to the Legion podcast again and trying to catch up. And yeah, they spent a good amount of time bashing Aquaman because of those 16 issues were the best 4 issues I've ever read.
There you go.
Wow.
That's what
he said. It's fair.
But then we get a couple really cool panels. We get the first appearance of the new 52 Starro.
Yeah, which they've never shown before.
And also the Earth One version of Amazo.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've mentioned Amazo over in Earth Two, but they've never I don't remember their.
Exactly. But apparently on the same day when the barriers between worlds were weakened, that's when this outsider guy and our triple agent came across. And the female, which we already said was the Atom, we'll get to that later, though. She said,
and look at that panel on the upper left. She has a ponytail there. That should have been.
Yeah, I know. I should have figured it out. She says they didn't make it. And the outsider's like, no, my dear, but we did. Ha. He says that a lot. And he's the one, the outsider's the one that's actually doing the narration. And he said, and so my mission to save him began. And as we called it, and a lot of people did, and they went ahead, and I think that was part of the thing that they told, this was the truth, that this outsider guy is the Alfred from Earth 3.
Yeah, I think that's a cool. That's cool.
At this, and it's not that big of a secret at this point because, like I said, they've already told it. Because the promo stuff for the Forever Evil is showing our villains from our Earth and the crime syndicate coming at each other. The tagline is "Evil is relative."
Yes.
So yeah, that's who the outsider's been all the time, and he's talking about how he discovered the existence of the Pandora's box. But apparently something happened on Earth 3, and they were the only ones that came over. But they haven't really told about that. But he's showing how all the things he tried to do to help get them over, and one of the things he did was started building the secret society. And with all these different villains, the ones that he, could call on and do things for him. And we had called it was Alfred, which, there's a lot of people that thought that.
Was always Alfred, but we just, the early version of him, that was an interesting twist.
See, I'd read that. We talked about that. I'd read that in an article. Or seen that already, so I think we had discussed it.
Good for us. All right.
I love that he's looking at the globe and he's like, everything's backwards. East is west. West is east. Like, yeah. Even the world is.
Yeah, because they were hinting at it then. So
now, Murray, you're better at these kind of like these moments. But in the did they ever do that something like that either in the Grant Morrison? Injustice Society, Earth 3 stuff or...
There was that hardcover that Grant Morrison put out. It was the first time he got a hold of the Earth 3 characters.
Did they ever do that East is West, North is South thing, or was that a...
As a matter of fact, they did. The people from the other side, because what had happened was a plane had crashed from their Earth to our Earth, and all the people's hearts were on the wrong side. And instead of God as an overall thing, the money had Satan symbols on it. They found the money inside the people that had died's pockets, and it was evil.
Oh, geez.
It had Satan stuff. Yeah, it was called Earth 2 was the name of it, and it's got Frank Quietly art as well. It's a really good storyline.
I just wasn't certain whether that was a John's invention, but clearly it was a Morrison, if not maybe prior to Morrison, but definitely.
I would say it's even that idea they've kicked around even earlier, maybe. Depending on which writer was playing around with the Earth 2 characters, I think it's something they've mentioned before, but never to any great extent.
Yeah. Well, I think he developed that crime syndicate thing more Morrison did in that Earth 2 than most others had. And then after that, Kurt Busiek used him some when he was writing Justice League.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the one who introduced the
egg.
Or the Black Power Ring. So.
Yeah, yeah. He even switched the race of Power Ring. That's been switched back and forth several times.
Yeah.
Because he was black when he took it over, and then they put it back later on. But anyway.
See, this is cool fanboy wink. I'm sorry. This is when it gets to be fun. I'm sorry.
So they're all showing up at the same place, which is somewhere in Greece. I think it's like a Parthenon kind of thing. I don't remember what they said. And Constantine is probably the only one that can actually hold it. Pandora's boss. He says he's already, already good and gone. And they all end up showing up there. And then, of course, that's when all hell breaks loose because everybody wants the box.
Yeah, they all get evilified.
I don't think Batman ever does.
But yeah, you're right. It seems like he
something about it he can, But they're all trying to kill each other, trying to get that
later,
box.
Later in the story he does.
He
gets a little pissy, yes.
Okay, I don't remember. That part, but anyway,
he's channeling his pre-Flashpoint.
Yeah, he knows not to touch it. He uses a leather strap to grab it away from him, try to get away. The Green Lantern, whatever his name is, he's kind of keeping it together.
Simon, that's it.
Yeah, then he starts in. So I'm not afraid of you, Batman. I'm the Green Lantern. And of course, Batman says that you're no Hal Jordan. And then that famous scene we've already seen for months and months and months ago, Superman smacking him upside the head. But yeah, everybody's fighting over it. Vibe, Firestorm, Katana, the whole bit.
Yep, they're all duking it out.
Yeah.
In Greece.
Yes, in Greece.
Greece is the time, it's the place, it's the most.
Yeah, Shazam, and Martian Manhunter pretend like he was Mera, and the Question and Pandora are even fighting. It's even affecting the Question. He's trying to figure out whether that would tell him who he was or not.
You know which character I think I thought was actually going to be able to fight it better would have been Frankenstein. From what I've read of... And he was a pretty willful. And did he have a soul? I don't know.
I think he does. He's not a monster. He just looks like one.
Well, I don't know if he had turned bad or not. He was holding Shazam down. So, everybody, I don't know.
And Bob seems to be keeping... you're right. Bob seems to be the one who's really keeping it together over this...
Where was it that he... He says, you're just a man. He's telling Batman, I'm not afraid of you. I'm the Green Lantern. Yeah, okay.
And this is a really cool splash page, the double page.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Some good art there. Okay, so there's fighting, and then she's Wonder Woman's, give it to me, Batman, I can destroy it. And he said, which would open it, Diana, and that's the last thing I think we should be doing. We need to save Superman. And she's she says, so I'm here, Diana. And she's like, you're sick. And says, after I die, who will you go to? Will you go back to Steve? And she's like, what? Or will you go to Batman? And he's got this weird crap on his head. You know, Trevor's like, I hope Superman dies. And then Superman decides he's going to kick Batman's butt. I won't let you take her away from me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I won't stop until Batman is dead. And that's when a woman steps in between them. And you see that one page there where they're standing, the three of them, in one frame. And Batman gets hit pretty hard. And then it falls, the Pandora's box falls, and it kind of makes a sparky noise. And then at the same time, Superman just keels over with a thoom. Take a drink. Oh, wait, wrong podcast. I'm going to try a drink anyway.
This next part with Firestorm, while it is neat to give him his moment, I thought incredibly, incredibly convenient.
Well, I was reading through these. He did actually make kryptonite, so maybe.
He did, yes.
So. But you're right. They needed something to explain it.
Yeah, it gave them more of a reason than just. They gave him a reason for creating that moment between Firestorm and Waller beyond just Waller like trying to CYA.
It gives the story a moment to do some plot reveal without it looking too plot reveal-y.
Yes. Plus, it also. I mean, there's still characters in here who do not talk the whole issue, but it does give him an opportunity to talk.
This is where the story turned. This page here where we
It did. This is where it kicked in, and this is where the stuff started just like, okay, now this is just a tad bit more interesting.
Yeah, up till here it had just been one too many hero battles that weren't really going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to get the reveals, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is what I was talking about before, where it was a lot of build-up, and then, Chris, you alluded to this as well, is that a lot crammed in here into these last 10 pages.
Like, oh, yeah, this happened. Oh, wait, and bam, now this, and we'll get to that.
Though yeah. I got to give him credit, this part where they reveal, they go into his head and find this sliver of kryptonite in his head. In some instances, they would have, you know, Bendis would have stretched that over a whole issue.
Yeah, true. And
yeah, well, I think
they didn't.
Story.
They did
journey,
not
to, journey to the center of Superman kind of thing.
And I had forgotten that somebody had stolen a sliver of that kryptonite from Batman's ring, and that had happened way back.
Oh yeah.
That's where the sliver come from.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I don't remember, but it
oh, wait, maybe the internet will tell me.
Because remember, it had all come up that he had, so, you know, Superman and Batman were talking, and Batman took him to that secret cave within a cave, and it had things to take care of all of them, and Batman gave Superman his weakness, and it had happened because that all got brought up because of the sliver being stolen somehow. Or one of them had the ring. Who had the ring? It was Despero had that ring. That's right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Justice League number 19.
That's right. So he had gotten the ring, and there was a sliver missing. That's when they discovered it.
You're right. There was that cool Despero issue of jail.
Yeah, and he had that ring and was beating the crap out of Superman. So that was I mean, he set it up, bits and pieces of it. There, and that's that same sliver.
This has been set up all the way as far back apparently as JL6. So just
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So anyway, Metamorpho Woman. What is her Metamorpho? What is her name?
Element Woman.
Element Woman. Okay, I was using the old one. She goes into gas, finds the sliver, and he's like, and then Cyborg says, "How did Microsoft sliver of kryptonite get in his brain?" And this is when they hit you upside the head with the sledgehammer. And the Atom is on his shoulder, and she says, "Oh, that's an easy question to answer, Cyborg." You turn the page. I put it there. You. And then she says, "When we were going up against the JLA, I went into Superman's brain with a sliver of kryptonite I took from the Batman's ring. I hit a nerve and triggered his heat vision. And I know you thought I was part of the Justice League, and the JLA thinks I work for them, but the truth is I don't work for any of you." And then I'm like, I'm thinking, wait a minute, what the hell? You know, I thought that was just a little much, but whatever.
I didn't mind that twist. I thought it was convenient that the sliver of kryptonite triggers his heat vision just at the right moment. Like,
Yeah.
Superman
was pretty lucky that that happened when she did what she did.
Mm-hmm. Because they needed that plot point, because that actually drove the whole...
That kicks everything off. Mm-hmm. But there was no way for them to know that...
That was going to happen.
His head would cause bursts of heat vision.
Yeah, I know. That was...
And Fry, the new guy.
But then, see, and I had... This is the dialogue of this part here. Was just a little, took me out of it a little bit. So Cyborg looks at her and says, "So you're a traitor?" And she goes, "Oh, Vic, honey, so are you." And then this is where, I don't know. You know,
I love that panel. I absolutely love that panel.
What, the one where she's holding her face?
Yes. She's like, "Oh, so are you." It's
so awesome. Condescending.
It's awesome.
I really liked it. Now, I'm of two minds of the Cyborg thing. I don't think he's been killed off. I think they'll probably save him somehow, but...
Yeah, well, his dad did it once. He'd just do it again.
I just think it's pretty low that the one character that they put on the team instead of Martian Manhunter, like they switch Martian Manhunter out, and they added Cyborg to the team because he's got to be one of the big seven because he's... I don't know.
Well, they needed a black character. Come on. That was the main reason. Character.
But then they don't do anything with him for 23 issues. Like
I know. He's just been replacement for Oracle, really.
He's had maybe three pages of dialogue total in 3 years. Like, they've done nothing with him at all.
The most that they did is when he went and saved them during Atlantis War and he had his lungs modified so he could save them. Remember that?
Yeah, that
was probably his biggest character moment. That was like one of the last pieces of human left in him.
But they tornadoed him. I agree with you, Murray.
So as soon as she says that, you hear this electronic voice, and Vic's eyes goes green, and you see, "Yes, I have no need for this flesh anymore." And Vic's like, "And it's a weakness. Prefer to be without it, so I will separate from it." And then you see this Transformer moment, and all these parts separating from Vic in a very typical gross way. Well,
these panels, they were bloody.
Well, that's the kind of thing that he likes to do. Hold on, I hit the wrong button and I'm like off page. So you see the Transformer moment. And he's separating the Cyborg part, separating, and Batman's like, "Victor," and then you see this, and I have to admit the Simon Baz kind of, he's smart enough to know when he puts like a stasis around him. And Vic's obviously literally falling apart. What was that?
Just around his head and spinal column. That's all that's left.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that's left, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, cool. So the Cyborg parts, all of a sudden, they say it says Grid Online. So, okay, there you go. So you got
new character? So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, what they've done is they've pretty much made a evil version of every one of the League.
Right, yes, you got it. But is Grid new? I mean, I don't know.
I've never heard of anything called Grid.
Yeah, I think he's been made up just for the book.
Yeah, I haven't. And has there been anything in? Can you think of anything that you've seen any inkling that that was going to happen?
No.
I thought that was complete and total overkill, that they didn't need to do that. I mean, the whole thing with Adam being a traitor, which I didn't see coming at all, which I should have. And then they do this. I thought it was unnecessary, but whatever. And it's not even from Earth-3. It's from our world.
Yeah.
It's just this virus that just happened to be hanging around Cyborg.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool if they hadn't made Grid, if they had made it that what was the name of the robot villain was in the second Justice League International storyline. The Red Tornado miniseries. Help me out here, Murray.
You lost me there.
I'm clueless.
Remember the second Justice League International storyline where it turns out that Max Lord is that robot character is controlling him?
Yes. Tell me more.
I know. Red Tornado. Go on. I'm sorry. It's gonna bother me.
All right, I'm trying to figure out about this Grid character here.
There is no pre-existing.
I kind of liked them. No. Yeah, I thought.
Okay.
It was one twist after another, so it worked. It worked for me. I didn't like seeing Cyborg get all mushed up.
That's the thing. I thought it was like, all right. Well, he's figuring it out.
He didn't contribute to the series at all, and then all of a sudden his contribution is to become a thing for the bad guys.
Yeah. So out of the outsider shows up, it's ours, and he picks it up. Flash tries to get him, and Pandora's like, I don't understand, which I said at the same time, I don't understand either. You never did, Pandora. Since the gods who damned you first found this box, they believed it to be magic. But they were wrong. It's science, and its mouth opens up, and you see some Kirby dots.
Mm-hmm.
And it whammies the crap out of everybody, just about. This looks like especially Shazam, or Black Shazam, or whatever the hell he is. And he says it was created on my world long ago and left here. And yeah, the blasts are only hitting the good guys, supposedly. And he says, all this time you searched the world for someone who could open the box, but only someone from our world can do that, Pandora. Ha! Which I got real sick of him saying all the time. Like the mother box, which I thought was interesting. He says,
yeah.
Like the mother box. This is the only one of many. And like the mother box, Pandora's box, with quotes, can open a gateway to other universe. Is that the singular of universes? Or maybe that was a typo. It says universe.
Oh, you're right. It does.
Okay.
Yeah,
our universe. Yeah, it's a typo. The birthplace of evil. And then there's a big cracoon. Take a drink. And he continues, all this time you're looking for who was behind this. As you say on your world, the butler did it. And that's like, okay, we were right. What's happening, dead man? Says Element Woman. He just opened some kind of portal. Star Girl says, someone's coming through. And then you see Aquaman with some kind of thing stuck on his arm, and he's got a hook and a trident, and he looks like the one that Peter David did, and then he falls over dead.
Yeah,
with back smoking, which I thought was that's one of the things. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Still no respect for poor old Aquaman.
Yeah, it's like that's one of the things the grumpy old fan complained about. Why show that and then have him fall over?
Unless more to that story, like
yeah. I think somebody's zapped him because he's got that. He's back smoking. One of them others killed him, I bet.
Yeah, it could be. That could be the...
Yeah. I don't know who, but anyway, Catwoman says, it's like, Batman, and Batman's like, stay with me, Vic. And she says, who is that? Who? What the hell is going on? Yeah, and you're right. I think there's the only thing left of him is the torso and some head. That's kind of...
It's gross.
And you see a caped figure step through with red boots, and
he looks like the babysitter in Saga.
There you go.
Good, she's got a partner now.
The box has been destroyed. Pandora says, "Hawkman's holding up some big rock, probably from crushing somebody." He's not saying anything, which is fine. And then Xanadu says, "But evil hasn't been in prison, Pandora. Only unleashed." The Trinity, it wasn't about you. It was the number, the true number of evil. And we know who it is. It's Ultraman. And she's like, three, Earth 3. And then finally. And he's like, kicks over this Aquaman, though the Sea King didn't make it. And you see a new crime syndicate.
This is a great spread.
It is. It is really good. You see Owlman, a new evil version of Firestorm, Johnny Quick, of course Power Ring, and you see Ultraman. He says, we have survived. And then you see Superwoman, and I like how it's a barbed wire instead of a rope. I like that little...
I know, that's awesome.
That's a neat little deal there.
I know, I like that. They look like, at first I thought they were stars, and then I realized, nope.
Mm-hmm.
That's vicious.
Yeah, and one of the things that Morrison did in that was Johnny Quick needed some kind of drug injection that he would inject to give himself the power. So he was like an addict.
Yeah, it sounds like he's...
I don't think he's quite that.
I think they're going with new characterizations here, but I like...
Yeah, you can definitely see that. You can definitely tell that here in a second.
And you know what? I'm one of the carryovers from pre-New 52, Deathstorm.
Yeah, he was... That was what they called the dead version of Firestorm. You're right.
Yep.
So somebody says off-panel, who are they? Oh, it was Catwoman. Batman says, I don't know Catwoman. Everyone regroup now. And then you see Adam say, Johnny, and she jumps into Johnny Quick's hand, and he seems very young. I got $5 that says that's Wally West.
No.
Look how young that character is. I bet you he made that Wally West.
No, he's Johnny.
They're not going to evilize Wally West.
Oh, now, come on now.
They're already pissing the fans off enough. I don't think they're gonna...
So anyway, Firestorm goes Atomica, and the kid in his head says she's one of them, and he's like saving Green Arrow. And she's pretty much pushing her boobs right up against his goggles and says, oh, Johnny, did I miss you? This world is such a drag. And he says, we'll make it fun, baby, promise. So the outsider, which is Alfred, of course, kneels down on his... knee and says, welcome to your new home, Thomas. Ha! I hate that. It's getting old.
And now, is Thomas supposed to be Bruce Wayne's father?
Yes, yeah.
Thomas Wayne, yes.
Yeah, apparently that's what the deal is in this one.
I'm pretty certain that was a Morrison twist.
No. In the Earth 2 book, it was Bruce Wayne, and Thomas Wayne was a police commissioner. And he turned into Owlman because his dad was a big policeman, but he still didn't keep his mother from getting killed. Hmm. That was the twist.
So,
now, they might have made Thomas Wayne in other ones, but I remember that specifically. So then you see a speech balloon with a green around it. But is it safe, Owlman? It doesn't look safe. And this was the thing I thought was cool. They got Power Ring is a scaredy cat, pretty much. Because he's saying, and this looks like Hal Jordan. It looks dangerous. So Deathstorm says, calm yourself, Power Ring. This is a fascinating world, not a dangerous one. Not to us. Keep panicking, and you will only make your condition worse. But Deathstorm... But what is that? And you look at him, it's like whatever's on his hand, the ring, and he's doing something with it. It's like trying to take over his arm or something. I don't know.
I think he's just trying to hold himself steady. I think it's like he's the complete opposite of Hal Jordan. So while Hal Jordan is fearless, this guy is afraid of everything and nervous about everything.
Yeah. So Alfred says, you know, he hit Power Ring asks, but what is that? And he says, this is Grid. Atomica says, I met him when I was hacking into Cyborg. Johnny Quick says, nice find, baby. Grid is a, Alfred of Earth 3 explains, Grid is a sentient computer virus from this world with aspirations beyond corrupting files. And he says, have a nice day.
I sent you a link on that character, the Construct. That was his thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. The Construct, thing here. And that's I thought that was like way out of left field, but apparently he was the one that, because I'm going through all these again, somebody hacked into computer systems at Argus, and it said, have a nice day, so it was that virus that did it.
Oh, yeah. Good catch.
Because that didn't make sense to me, and when I read that time, it clicked. So Superwoman, she's got her magic barbed wire around some guy with a hood on his head. Now this right here, these two panels right here is what makes me want to read. I want to know who the hell that is. It says, if we have anything to worry about, Power Ring, it's our prisoner. We should have left the bastard on our world. And so she's got somebody tied up with a bag on his head and his hands tied behind his back. Now who the hell is that?
We will find out.
Thank you.
I'm guessing Luther.
I am too. Yeah, if you look at Power Ring in this other panel, he's really weak looking. And there's like lines of crap coming through his arm into his shoulder from where the ring's at. But anyway. Wonder Woman says, they're like all standing there. We need to remove the kryptonite from Superman. And Batman says, we need to get Vic stabilized. The rest of you, those that can stand. And Superwoman is like, they're just standing there. It's so disconcerting, isn't it? She's talking to Ultraman. Yes, they look like us, Superwoman, and like most of our allies. Power Ring says, they're trying to get up. What do we do, Ultraman? Johnny Quick says, we stretch our legs and have some laughs. Ultraman then says, we begin our mission, Johnny. And then you see them all attacking, and he says, well, this world now belongs to the crime syndicate, and they jump into action. Incoming transmission. Damn it, I thought I turned that down.
I see these seven characters, and I see three Justice Leagues standing in front of them, and I'm sorry, we got Martian Manhunter, we got Wonder Woman, we got Shazam or Captain Marvel, the Flash.
Yeah, but they're not at their full strength.
Well... Jeez, it's freaking Martian Manhunter and Frankenstein and Wonder Woman.
True.
How will they be defeated?
I know. Hold on. One second here. The sister's checking in on me.
See, that last page is enough for me to check out Forever Evil. I'm not interested in any of the villain tie-ins, really. Those, I think, will be...
Yeah, the Forever Evil, that's what it says, to be continued in Forever Evil number one. I do definitely want to read at least the series.
Now, it's six issues, right?
I believe so. Let me find out.
Is it Jeff Johns writing it?
Yes, Jeff Johns and... who's on the art? Something I'm not thrilled about.
According to Wikipedia, they already got a Wikipedia entry.
Dave,
forthcoming crossover event. Lead up, titles, seven issue miniseries.
Ah, so it'll be two issues worth of story then. I was going to say if it was six issues.
But there's 3 6 issue tie-in books that go with it. Forever Evil Argus with Matt Kent and Manuel Garcia. Forever Evil Arkham War by Peter Tomasi, Scott Eaton, and Jimmy Mendoza. And Forever Evil Rogues Rebellion by Brian Bucatello and Patrick Zurcher. And then it shows a bunch of tie-ins. Justice League 24 and 25, Justice League Dark 24 and 25, Justice League of America number 8 and 9. Ooh, by Matt Kent and Doug Monkey, by the way. Suicide Squad by Matt Kent and Patrick Zerker. I didn't do the others. And Teen Titans number 24 and 25 by Scott Lobdell. Justice League 24 and 25 is Jeff Johns and Ivan Reis.
Oh man, you know what? I'm starting to think Chris may be right here, Murray, about Johnny Quick being Wally West, because if it's a Teen Titans tie-in,
exactly. That would be... And I think I saw an issue cover, and I do believe that. There's like an evil version of Superboy.
Maybe, I think. It's not Wally West. I can pretty much guarantee. Are you caught up on the latest Flash?
I am. Yeah.
So you've seen the identity of Reverse Flash?
Yeah, it's her brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do two West wackos.
Well, that's two totally different series, though. There's no Flash tie into this.
No, I know, but I mean to have Wally's father, I guess that's his father, turn into a big villain, and then have Wally from another. I don't know. I think they're leaving Wally off the table entirely. It's just Johnny Quick.
Well, I don't know. Adding in Titans, I can see why obviously the three Justice League series are going to have tie-ins to Forever Evil, and I can even see why Suicide Squad because of the Argus tie-in. But Titan doesn't seem like it should fit. It seems like the odd man out, and this would give them a reason. I'm not 100% agreeing with you, Chris, on this. But
well, I didn't realize how young that character looked until I saw that, and it just that's the first thing I thought of. You know,
it will come as no surprise to me if it happens
because people have been crying for that character for so long. You know,
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they're leaving him off the table. I can guarantee it. I think that they're just trying to pull the Teen Titans into a little more of the... Because really, they have no Young Justice line anymore, right? Like, they...
No, it's pretty much dead.
Teen Titans, Superboy...
Let's see. Well, I'm looking...
trying to get them involved in a crossover that people actually like.
I think, yeah. It could be. Like, I think they're just using this to reposition Titans more than...
Yeah, because that is anybody. Are you, anybody still reading that?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking up Teen Titans solicit right now.
I haven't read it in a few months, so I don't know what the.
Oh, I dropped it a long time ago and never picked it up again.
But I mean, it is gratifying to see Matt Kent is all over this Forever Evil thing.
Yeah,
he's. Has he done anything else for Marvel?
He is doing stuff for Marvel, yeah. I don't remember what, but he's got a couple of minis or a special or two coming out for Marvel as well.
Him and Charles Soule or Soule, I think. I don't know how it is. They seem to be two of the big crossover creators between the two companies.
Yeah.
Not big. I wouldn't say. I'm sorry, Charles Soule. He's not huge, but he's certainly making a name for himself. But he is doing stuff for both companies.
Interesting.
as a lead-in, I'm a little disappointed. It's sort of like
it was. I just thought it was just way too much at the end.
It could have been a month build up to this miniseries, rather than 3 months or two months. Yeah.
I think they could have cut out some of the middle fluff and just jumped straight to the end. I thought the last issue was paced just the way I'd like it to be paced. I thought some of the chapters before it were dragging things out. Well, except I didn't feel they were dragging them out as I was reading them because I felt like we were being taken on a... Like the characters, I thought that, we're following this lead, and we're following this lead, and it isn't until this issue that we realized that all those leads were just red herrings going nowhere. But
Even in our last episode of this Caleb called it. He says it's going to be neat, you know, time, you know, build up, and bam, and it's all going to hit. And that's pretty much what happened.
And I could have done, I mean, the first part and the last part, I mean, that was, like I said, it was to their credit, you could have just read Justice League at number 22 and 23 and gotten the whole gist. There were some, you know, some moments, but they did not, I do not think, add to the understanding, to the completeness of this particular issue. And to Jeff Johns' credit, it was a great single issue.
Yeah, I agree.
And clearly all three of us have been intrigued enough to say, you know what, Forever Evil at least.
Yeah, I have to admit it. I want to read further. I really do. I want to know who the guy in the hood is. That's the kind of crap that gets me right there.
I want to know who the guy in the hood is. I'm not curious. I mean, now that you've mentioned the Wally West thing, and now that I've seen Titans has hopefully not just a Red Sky tie-in to this, but it would be interesting to see if that is where they're going with it. Because if they are, you're gonna see the internet on the comic book side.
Yeah, I think they're dumb enough to do it. I'm sorry, but I think they do. I think they are.
Not gonna happen.
All right. Well, we'll know in approximately 3 months here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because 24 is coming out in October, and then 25 in November. So.
Yep.
And Forever Evil, seven-issue miniseries. Now, does this start next month, or does it start in October?
September, which is...
Now.
Soon. Mm-hmm.
Probably it'll come out like the last week or something like that.
Something, yeah.
With David Finch, too. I wonder if they get all seven issues on time.
Well, I'm hoping that they already freaking got them done. They learned from, you know.
Here we go. Oh, no. October sees the launch of the three. Oh, my God. Those are going to be six issues each?
Yeah, I said that just a minute ago. Yeah.
You did. I'm sorry.
I'm finding it hard to believe, too. It's kind of ridiculous.
So that's 18 plus the core series 7, so that's 25
mm-hmm.
ones that are going to be that, plus the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So 35 titles, including the main title.
Which are under, you know.
The banner.
Yeah, they're all in, what do you call it? In the Villains Month regalia.
That is Marvel level
of bullshit. Absolutely.
See,
that's not what you were gonna say. Oh.
No, but I wow, that's a lot.
I don't think. Okay. Okay. No, it doesn't say it starts.
I'm sure it starts. I'm sure it starts this month. You're right. This is being recorded. We're recording on September 1st. I'm sure that we will see.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I will say that Comixology sent me an email. It says, "Hey, you are subscribed to a couple of things that are probably going to be under." Okay, it comes out the 4th, which is Wednesday.
This week. Wow.
Forever Evil number 1. Yeah. At $3.99, I might add.
Wow, Batman.
Well, okay. Since I'm not going to be buying some of the other stuff, I can afford it. But yeah, what was I going to say?
Well, there you go. That's how DC is going to do it because they know they already built in the fact that people aren't going to buy 90% of these villains titles.
Yeah. But yeah, they Comixology sent me an email and said, "Hey, you subscribe to blah blah blah." You're going to get, if you say, like, if you're subscribed to Batman, you're going to get all the Batman titles that are part of the Villains United. So if you don't want those, you need to go unsubscribe now. So.
Right. Matt Kidd is doing a lot in this film.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
He's got the Harlequin one-shot. Got.
Well, that won't be a one-shot. They're doing a regular.
Well, no. I mean, for the Villains Month, he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Batman Dark Knight number 23 point something or other. He's got something else here, a Deadshot one as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's wow, he's making inroads here at DC. Tremendously.
Yeah. What does he write that Murray likes so much?
It is called Mind Management.
That's what I thought it was. I read the first. They had an Image deal on Comixology, and I read the first issue, and it was like, eh, to me. But you know,
it was eh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Oh, by the way, speaking of things, I'm getting back into an Invincible sale going on right now on Comixology.
Right.
In case you didn't know. Yes, which I just got through getting the next compendium, which has 48 to 96. And the last four issues that were on sale for 99 cents were the next four issues after that. So I already went ahead and bought them so I could get them at that price. So anyway, yeah.
Real quick aside, I'm hoping that I'm constantly comparing Geoff Johns to Bendis over at Marvel, the way they tell stories. But I was listening to Hey Kids Comics recently, and they did a read through on Days of Future Past, a two-part miniseries from Claremont and Byrne.
Yes,
back in the day.
Yeah,
and they made a really great comparison. They said that if you want to read a really stretched out version of Days of Future Past, read Age of Ultron. he called it. It's the same freaking story. So I'm
pretty
hoping.
Much. Yeah, it is.
I was a little surprised, and then as I started thinking about it, it's like, yes, Byrne and Claremont did in two issues what Bendis had to take 10 issues to do.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was very stretched out.
As we go into this, I'm hoping we don't start seeing comparisons to other stories.
Yeah. Anyhow. We shall see.
Yeah, again, great single issue. I
agree. They could have done the whole thing just right there, and I would have been fine.
And even the disappointments, like what they did with Cyborg, actually, I thought that was – I disagreed with the choice. But
oh,
it was
absolutely.
It was an intriguing choice.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It was out of left field for certain.
Yeah, just way out there.
And to Murray's point, I agree that I would like to see you know, the old school me would like to see Brian Choi or Ray Palmer as opposed to this new chick. And I guess now we can.
Yeah, maybe they'll end up recruiting somebody to do that, because she acted like she got the suit, the powers from the belt that the JLA that Waller gave her.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll give this back. I don't want to do this anymore. And I should have realized that she was protesting too much.
And they got to get that sliver out of Superman's brain. So that's a great opportunity for them to go ahead and bring in another shrinker.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they got to fix Vic. And they got to.
Yeah. Maybe Batman can put him in an old bat suit or some, you know, bio suit or something he's got laying around in the cave.
No, Vic is the new Robin.
He's a madman with any.
Oh, a new Robin? Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, totally. Look, work with me here. Batman was totally, through this whole issue, he spoke to Victor more in this issue than he did in the whole 22 issues leading up to it.
Yeah, you got a point. He seemed very concerned, and you seem more concerned about him than Superman.
I know. He's totally going to recruit Vic. He's going to be
mm-hmm.
Robot Robin. Robo Robin.
Oh, my God.
Batman and Robo Robin. That's going to happen before Wally
Robin
West is back.
Yeah. Robot in.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
That might happen.
It's going to happen. Batman's going to take him back to the Batcave, sew him up, put him in a little Robin suit. He could even put him in the little green underwear because, I mean, he's got nothing left. He's got.
I take it back. Okay, so maybe that's going to be the Titans tying is what happens with Victor.
Could that's be. Very possible.
He has as much a tie to Teen Titans as Wally West does. So.
Yes. There you go. They're going to use this issue to bump Cyborg down to the little leagues where he should have been to begin with.
Well, I didn't know if you knew, Caleb, there's a 99-cent Dan Slott sale going on Comixology right now.
Ooh, wait a minute. I did not know.
Yes, it looks like it starts with Brand New Day.
I shall check. Well, I've read them. I don't want to...
Avengers The Initiative...
Ooh, I didn't read those.
1 through 12, 99 cents.
Perhaps. Because that got good word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. I know you like them, so. Anyway.
I got nothing else to add other than good job, Jeff Johns, at least on this single issue.
I agree.
Me too. I liked it. I gotta go.
All right.
See y'all later, big guys.
I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Run away! Run away!
All right, then.
Do your thing, man.
All right, this is, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page, the growing legion of, well, it's not really a legion, it's more like a band or, you know, it's a few people, of people that, you know, get on there and discuss, you know, things of all various nerdity. And you can actually comment on the actual episodes. That's all safe from spammers and things now. And let's see what else. What is there? Oh, yeah, we got a Twitter page, but all that does – I don't have time to do anything but just have it post the episodes. But it's at TFT Long Box. If, you know, you want to get your episodes from Twitter, then there you go. And that's about it for this week. And we'll see you next time.
Rock and roll.